Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 21. And we'll just continue on with the song here as the Lord's going to ask the question, does he love him? And we're going to be presented with that question later in the message. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? Let me just stop right there. If Jesus Christ wants to ask me 100 times a question, I want to be careful not to get grieved at any question that the Lord asks. And as a matter of fact, as we read the Word of God, God's constantly asking us questions, checking up on us as we read the Word of God. Don't get tired of God asking you questions as you get close to Him. Anyway, he was grieved that the Lord had asked him a third time. He says here in the middle of the verse, And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Father, we ask again that you'd meet with us in a special way tonight, that you would fill the hearers of the Word of God, fill me with the Spirit of God, those listening over the internet. Father, each of us, as we hear the Word of God, that you would do a work in our hearts to get us closer to you, to help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, Father, to reach the lost for your honor and glory. Lord, help now as I preach. All the honor and glory belongs to you. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one thing about Pastor being sick, the staff has to kind of fly in a pattern waiting for the phone call to when Pastor is going to ask us to preach. And praise the Lord, as I was thinking about this, I figured I was going to be up to bat at some point. I necessarily don't like pulling stuff out of the file cabinet. I like getting stuff fresh out of the oven, kind of like fresh cookies, you know. There's just nothing better than the fresh cookies. But nonetheless, as I was praying that God would give me a message, I got a thought here, but it's at the end of the chapter. And it's about a 10-minute message, so we're going to have to cover the whole entire chapter, but wait, it's the Word of God, so it will be good. So we're going to look at the entire chapter, save maybe the last few verses. So we start right here in verse 14, no, verse 1, yes, verse 14, no, verse 1, okay, 14, all right, verse 1. This is now the third time that Jesus has met with his disciples. Okay, look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. In verse 2, it's going to tell us that there's seven disciples there. Simon, Bar-Jonas, son of Jonas, Peter's going to be there, along with six other disciples. Now, he's going to get an inclination in his heart to go fishing. And I suspect that Peter's fallen back into some of his ways before he had even started following the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified for the sins of all mankind. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the disciples now are kind of wandering around. They really have lost their purpose, their place. Peter right here has a double portion of this because he denied the Lord three times. So he's beating himself up. A lot of discouragement, no doubt, is in Peter's heart as he just says, let's go fishing. But it's amazing in verse 3 that the disciples that are with him follow him just like that. So we know he had a leadership role in the disciples after Jesus Christ had been crucified. In verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. So there was no talking about it. They just went fishing. And that night, they absolutely caught not a single thing. They caught nothing. They went out basically without God's permission. He's slipping back in some of his old ways. They go out all night long fishing, and they don't catch anything, or they catch nothing. But verse 4 comes along. I know Brother Ayer said it last week that word "but" in the Bible is a swinging gate to something wonderful there. But it says here in verse 4, "But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore." So these disciples are out in their boat. Jesus Christ is standing on the shore, and he speaks up to his disciples in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they said, "No." Now, I would be interested to know the inflection of the Lord Jesus Christ's voice. I don't think he's screaming at them. I've often wondered that when he's preaching to the 5,000. I'm often wondering the miracle of his voice carrying to every single ear. I had the blessing at Brother Snyder's oldest daughter's wedding to give the announcements at the rehearsal. There was no microphone system. There's no speakers. And I had to lift up my voice. He knew that I would lift up my voice. And I'm not going to do this because I would blow everything out right now. But, hey, you know, screaming out to the disciples, "Have you caught any meat?" Well, the answer is no, they didn't. But I imagine, and now trust me on this, it's not the voice of Joel Osteen either. I can tell you that right now. Our Lord's voice is not like that. But he asked them children. He named them children. "Have you caught any meat?" And they answered, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." And it's always good to be on the right side. That's just a little side note there. But on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. An amazing thing happened. The disciples decide to obey him. Now, they didn't recognize him as of yet, but the man on the shore said, "Cast your net on the right side." They've been fishing all night, hadn't caught a single thing, but in simple obedience, it's a principle for us, simple obedience to when Jesus says something to do it, they cast it on the right side of the net, and basically they get so many fish in that net that they can't hardly lift it in the boat. Matter of fact, they can't. They have to drag it to shore. But without God, you can do nothing. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was able to give deliverance for the fish. Now, I know you're going to wonder when I'm going with this, but Jesus is control of the fish too. Like, where are you going with that? Well, I just think it's neat that there's no fish, and all of a sudden we're going to see the number of fish, 153 great fish are going to be in this net. But I remember back to Jonah, where Jesus, our God, had control of the whale. I remember the fish that they had found. This is a miracle to me. It is a miracle to you too, I understand that. But when Jesus was going to pay tribute, he said, go cast a hook into the ocean, and the fish that you catch will have a coin in its mouth. Get the fish. You've caught a fish, but now it has a coin in its mouth. Why? Because God is in control of all that. All right? And also, there's another time where he told his disciples to launch out into the deep. They caught another haul of fishes, or fish. And so we see here that Jesus is in control. He's in control of everything. But we see here in verse 7 that Peter is finding out who this is that's on the shore. Verse 6 first, "And he said unto them, Cast your net on the right side, and they cast their net therefore, and were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked." Now he wasn't naked with no clothes on. He didn't have his fisher's coat on. So he girt the fisher's coat on. And this is an amazing thing. He cast himself into the sea. All right, so there's seven disciples in a boat. They see that, identify Jesus Christ is on the shore. Peter grabs his fisher coat, and he does, I don't know who of us would have done that, but he jumps in the shore. They're about a football field out, 200 cubits. He jumps in the shore to get to Jesus as fast as he possibly can, to be reunited with the Savior, to be reunited with the one that he followed for all those years. Because he saw Jesus. Now, my question is, are you one that stays in the boat or are you one that jump in the water? I know my son's not jumping in the water because he don't know how to swim. Matter of fact, when he swims, he looks like a newborn horse trying to walk. That's how he swims. It's hilarious. But would you stay in the boat? There's a blessing of staying in the boat because you're taking care of what God has given you. You're taking care of the fish. But there's also a blessing going out and meeting with Jesus. Now, it's not recorded with Peter and Jesus talked about when he got there with them. But it's just interesting that we see the story right here, how the disciples were maybe going sideways or going backing away from God somewhat, but he appeared to them, and he's getting a revival in his heart, so he jumps out to get to Jesus. This reminds me of altar calls. You'll hear some preaching that the Holy Spirit of God is using in each heart, and before the music even starts, people are running to the altar to get close to Jesus. So there's some truths here that's amazing that we don't have to wait to get close to Jesus at any time. We can just run to him. Praise God for that. But let's move on to the message here as we go down the chapter. As they get to verse 8, we see here, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets of fish. And then verse 9 says, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. So the miracle here is Jesus already had breakfast waiting for them. Wife teasing me about that all the time, but he had breakfast waiting for them. He's already cooking the fish for them. And in verse 10, Jesus said unto them, bring the fish of which you have caught. So he's already having breakfast for them to come and dine with him, to sit down the campfire with him. And he tells them, I want you to go and bring of the fish that you just caught. In verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes. And for whatever reason, God gives us a number as 153 great fishes. For all there was so many, yet were they not the net wasn't broken. So we see here Peter getting excited again. The six disciples were having trouble dragging this net in the boat. It's floating in water. They're having trouble. Peter gets excited. Jesus had told him to go do something. He got on his horse. He went and got the net. Let's get busy and get this net up. And he threw that net on the shore. Some adrenaline. Again, where are you going with this message? It's John chapter 21. That's where I'm going, okay? It's the chapter. Praise God. So I imagine he's cutting the fish off, the heads off the fish, filleting the fish, bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of them dining with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here in verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land. The great fish is 153, for all there was so many, yet the net not break. And then verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. All right, so here's the principle right here, is that we have to eat from the Lord Jesus Christ before we can feed anybody. Now, this is one campfire meeting I would love to have been at. I've been to some cookouts down in Texas. We've had some brisket and some other stuff, but that nothing in comparison to the cookout right here with fish and bread. And in verse 13, we're going to see that the Lord is actually going to give them that bread. He's going to give them those fish. So what are you saying? What's the principle? We need to be fed by the Master. It's just a reminder to have a daily walk with God through His Word. This is the Holy Word of God. This is holy manna from heaven. We can be fed from the Lord Jesus Christ every single day as we get into the Word of God. As we eat it, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So God wants us to be able to not only eat his word or read his word or digest his word, but also to dissect his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we dine with the Savior through our devotions, we then study the word of God. We meditate on the word of God. We ingest the word of God so that we're able then to teach other people. So then we're able to be a blessing to other people. And that's another point that that we have to constantly be inputting. When the singers were here, we got to take them out to eat. He talked about inputting different things. And that's a principle for us. As we input the Word of God will come out. The Bible tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, so do an evaluation on your own self for the last 24 hours. What kind of stuff you've been talking about? You're talking about the Auburn recruiting class. You're talking about politics. You're talking about, what are you talking about last 24 hours or 48 hours? What have you been feasting on? Because out of the abundance, the heart will speak. but we need to dine with the Savior. Let him feed us constantly so we have that close fellowship with him, that close walk with him, and then we can use that to even protect our hearts, like we heard the message last week about guarding our hearts. That's going to come from the Word of God. All right, so as we get into our passages of Scripture here, this really gets us into the message, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, some folks think maybe that's the disciples that he's talking about there, but I don't. I think it's the fish, the secular job that he had in the fishing. The Lord Jesus Christ is now going to question him. He's going to ask him four questions in this next section of Scriptures. The first three questions we're going to see here, but I want to talk to you about questions first. Questions are a mode of communication that's necessary for basically extracting information that otherwise would not be extracted. So there's going to have to be some questions asked by the Lord to Peter to get to know where his heart is. So some of the questions that we ask to people, like, what is your name? You got to extract that information. Where are you from? We ask questions out on soul winning all the time. Do you think that you're going to heaven? Now, I ask it that way now. I've started asking that way right now because with all the turmoil in the nation right now, I don't want to knock on somebody's door and say, hey, if you died right now, huh? If you died right now, I'm talking about right now. I've kind of not said that so much. I just say, we're from Madison Baptist Church. Do you think that you're going to heaven? Do you think that when you do pass, you're going to heaven? So asking that question gets a person starting to think. Do you think that you're a sinner? You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't even think that they're sinners. Do you think that if you died without Jesus Christ, you'd end up going to hell? Do you think if you accepted him as Savior, you'd go to heaven? What you have to ask questions to extract the information of what people are believing. We had a great conversation last Wednesday with a young lady, Jessica. We asked her the questions, asked her if she knew for sure she was going to heaven. She said no. Then we asked her if we could take the Word of God, take a moment to show her from the Word of God how she could know that. And she had a long pause, and she said, let me go get my shoes. And we're rejoicing in our heart, praise God. So she went and got her shoes, but she came out also with her husband. So he came out always also. And you never know if the husband's going to be there as a disgruntled, you know. But the husband was there listening just as much as Jessica was listening as we are giving her the Word of God about her sin, about her unrighteousness, about the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, how he died in her place to give her eternal life. And all she would have to do is believe in him, call on him, trust him. Wouldn't you like to do that, Jessica? And it was a longer conversation than that, but she looked to her husband, Dave, and he says, don't look at me. You have to make the decision. Don't look at me. And so she says, I'm not ready to make that decision right now. And I understood I'm not a salesman and I'm not a foot in the door guy, but she wasn't ready right there. But I did say this. I did ask her. I said, so, Jessica, if you did make that decision to take Christ as your Savior right now and you died tonight, where would you go? She says, according to what I just learned, I would go to heaven. And I said, now, hold on just a second. If you choose to reject that decision and not accept him as your personal Savior and you die tonight, where would you go? And with a sober face, her head hung low, she goes, I would go to hell. And I said, well, you understand completely what you need to do. We're pleading with you to take Christ as your personal Savior. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to do a follow-up visit on Saturday to go see her and Dave and just be praying for them. But we had to ask questions to extract the information. Questions are necessary. Often in our home, I have to ask the question, what's wrong? And I get the answer that every man gets, not a single thing. All right? So I have a little bit of interrogation skills. CIA, right? I probe and I dig. And you know what I find out? What's wrong? You know what I find out what's wrong? The innocent, loving question was the thing that was wrong. All right, it was the question itself. You should have never even asked the question. But I'm reminded that this flesh is so against us. Sometimes we're moody and we don't even know why we're moody just because of the flesh. You know, but that's just part of being part of Adam's race. But questions often get to the problem. And I think I've embarrassed myself. So let me... All right, you only got one arm, so I'm not worried. All right, so questions are necessary, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do. He's going to ask Peter these four questions. And so verse 15, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, you notice that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, I'm not going to get too much in the Greek, but I do want to explain the Greek words in this passage. The first two times that the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word love, it's the Greek word agape, which is a godly love. The third time the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word phileo, which is a conditional, kind of a fellowship love. But it's interesting enough that every time that Peter answered the Lord Jesus Christ, he used the word phileo. I phileo love you, a conditional. So the Lord Jesus Christ kept asking him. And I do believe this, that the three questions that he's asked in this passage of Scripture is because of the three times that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's restoring him back to his passion. He's restoring him back to his position, back to the authority as an apostle, to get him focused on not loving the things of this world, but loving the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's asking these questions, and I think he used verse 9 to drive the point home. You say, why verse 9? It says, as soon then as they were come to land, he saw fire of coals there. Okay, so the only other time in the New Testament anywhere that you're going to see that wording fire of coals is found in John chapter 18 and verse 18, where it says, and the servants and the officers stood there, whom he made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So the other time that there was fires of cold present, this is right before Peter was going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ three times, and they say, you are one of his disciples. And no, I'm not. They said, your speech betrays you. Yes, you are. But this is the same fire of coals, and I believe maybe God was using that fire of coals to remind Peter of denying him. And now he's going to restore him by asking these questions. You see here, the first question, do you love me? He says, yes, I phileo you. I love you. I have that brotherly love for you. And that's a question that he's wanting to know. Hey, are you going to love me more than these fish? I have a job for you, but you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to surrender all these things, and you have to follow me. And so he's asking him this question, and that's a question that we have for us tonight. Do you love God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? What if he is asking you this question tonight? Would you answer phileo? Would you answer, yea, Lord, I love you? The Bible tells us that if we love him, in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14, 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. 1 Corinthians 16, 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anatha maranatha. Let him be a curse. Do you love God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? So we go to the second question here. Verse 16, and he said again to him, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. So let me ask us a second time, do you love God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your love for God gotten cold at all? Do you love God tonight? This is a question I'm asking all of us. How is your love for the Savior tonight? You've been infiltrated by this world. You walk in this dirty world from day to day. How's your love life with the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your love for God tonight? He asks them this question. Jude 1:21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. It is our responsibility to set our affection on Him. It is our responsibility to keep ourselves in love with God. So therefore, we have to deny the flesh. We have to deny the things of this world so that we keep our hearts right with God. How's your love for God tonight? Let's look at the next question here. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. But I have a question for you tonight. Do you love God? Do you love God? Have you left your first love? Have you left the one and stopped loving and being dedicated to the one who laid down his life for you? Are you irritated at me? Keep asking this question. Move on to the next point. I get what you're saying. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to be challenged with that anymore. I know my love's not where it should be, so go ahead and move on. I get what you're saying. Peter was grieved. Asked him a third time. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. He's telling them that he has a purpose for him. He has a mission for him. To be restored. For his fellowship to be restored. To be sweet with God. But it all hinged on his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of us, our service, our testimony, our life hinges on how much we love God. Because we're motivated by the love of Christ, it constrains us to do the things that we do. We have to constantly keep ourselves in check that we're loving right, that we have our hearts protected, like it was preached last Wednesday night, that we're guarding our hearts. Peter didn't. He fell out of love with the Savior, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is challenging him, and then he's going to tell him in verse 18 that he's going to have to die a martyr's death. All right, so he tells him in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. He said, when you're a young man, you got to go wherever you want. You got to follow me. You had free rein to do whatever you wanted to do. But now, he says here, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldst not. He's telling him, when you're old, somebody's going to stretch forth your hands. They're going to carry you away a place that you don't want to go. And by history, we know that Peter was crucified, but he was crucified upside down because he didn't think it right to be crucified as his Savior was crucified. So he asked them to turn him upside down as he gave his life. But in verse 19, this is a wonderful verse here because this spake he signifying by what death. Look what it says next. By what death he should glorify God. Do you know to the believer that we can glorify God even in our death? There have been martyrs burned at the stake. There have been people put to death. By not denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and those heathenistic, atheistic, agnostic people, wicked people that are putting those folks to death, were glorifying God even in their death. That may happen to us. We don't know. Matter of fact, we do know that we're all going to die in this room. We know that at some point. We do understand that. So when that does happen, we're able to glorify God even in our death. We hear the testimony often of Ray Berry, how he glorified God even in his death. We hear the testimony of Pastor Davis glorifying God even to his death. God gives us the grace even when we're dying to glorify him, even when we're taking our last breath on this earth. Praise God for that. But he said, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. This is the directive that he wants Peter to follow him. All right, so now this is when Peter gets a neck problem. And this is where the message is. All right, he gets a neck problem. You say, what's his neck problem? As he's following Jesus, someone else is following Jesus, he does this number right here. Look at it. It says in verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now, it's interesting that John described himself as this in different passages of Scripture. He didn't say, Peter turned around and saw me. But he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? All right, then Jesus has to rebuke him. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He told Peter, he says, what business is it of yours? What happens to John? What business do you have worrying about somebody else when I've instructed you to follow me? All right, so he says, Jesus tells him, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. All right, so he had a neck problem, he had an eye problem, and we know that's a testimony of Peter because when the Lord bid him on the water to come and walk on the water to be with him, we know that Peter started looking around. He had an eye problem, started looking down around the wind, started looking at all the stuff around, and he began to sink. He had to cry out to Jesus to save him. So he had a problem keeping his eyes fixed on. All right, so we know that the Word of God tells us that we're to glorify Him, that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence for out of the issues of life. And interesting enough, in that passage of Scripture, he tells us how to keep that heart. All right, he says, put away from me a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. You want to keep your heart. You want to make sure that you're looking right. You got to protect your heart. So you got to be careful what comes out of your mouth. But the point here is the next one. It says, let thy eyes look right on and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. All right, so what business does Peter have worrying about John? The Bible tells us in Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant to his own master? He standeth or falleth. But he's worried about John. The Lord Jesus Christ then has to rebuke him the whole time that Peter should have been doing what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says. It says, seeing then we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience to the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him which endured such contradictions against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Peter's responsibility was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to have his eyes look right at the Lord Jesus Christ and not look to the right or to the left. And that's our same responsibility that we ought to do. But unfortunately, because of our flesh, we often are looking around at people. We are looking at our neighbor. We see the story of the laborers that were hired for a penny. You remember that group. The first group, I believe, was hired at the sixth hour. There was another group that was idle. They were hired at the ninth hour. And there was another group that was idle. They were hired at the 11th hour. Now, when they came to each man receive a penny, those people in the first hour got very upset with the 11th hour and thought it was very unfair and unjust that they should get a penny just like they got a penny. And what is that to thee? What is that thou to thee? Follow thou me. What does that have to do with you? We hired every man for a penny, so a penny is the reward. What about the prodigal son? What about the brother of the prodigal son? All right, so let me read this to you in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgress at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son is come home, which thou hast devoured thy living with harlots and hath killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He said, what is that thou to thee? Follow thou me. What business is that is yours? You should be rejoicing that your brother was lost and gone astray, but now he has come home. You should be rejoicing and not worried about that. How often we're worried about our neighbor, we're worried about our coworker, we're worried about our brother, our sister, our spouse, whatever. What is that thou to thee? Follow thou me. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. This has helped me greatly in my ministry. It's helped me greatly in my life because we know we have a tendency to look around. What about Lot? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. What about David? He saw Bathsheba bathing on the housetop. Why? Because he wasn't looking the right direction. What about Samson? He had an affection for a woman with his eye, ruined his entire ministry, his entire life. The Bible tells us to love not this world. Neither the things that are in this world. We have to be very careful with the way that we, our eyes. What about Martha, when she was worried about her sister Mary? Let me read that passage of Scripture to you in Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she would help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Or he could have said to her, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, she has chose the better thing to worship me. Listen, we all have a ministry. We all have a calling of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to quit worrying about each other's business and just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He does have a mission for us. He has a plan for us. Also, the things of this world, we need to be careful not to set our eyes on those things. Like it was preached last Wednesday in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." When we get looking around at the things of this world, we start having cravings of this world. And this flesh is there to destroy us. The devil is our enemy. This flesh is our enemy. And when we give ourselves over to the things of the world and to the love of this world, we're in a very dangerous place. We're not looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as we ought to. We're not following Him as we ought to. And we're getting ourselves in a bunch of trouble. So love not this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what is your focus tonight? What have you been focusing on? Jesus Christ is in control. What about politics of this world? Do you understand this world's not our home? You understand that there's not one thing that you can do to change any vote in that Senate. There's not one thing you can do to change any law right now. But you know what you can do? You can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This world has gotten so wicked. This world has gotten so ungodly. This world is cuckoo. They're allowing men to play girls' sports. Listen, I don't have to rehash all the nonsense that's going on in this world right now. But what is that to that? What is that to thee? Follow thou me, Jesus says. What business is that yours? Yes, we're told to pray for our leaders, but in Daniel 2:21, "And he changeth the times and the season, he removeth kings and he setteth up kings." What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Do you understand that more people can get saved during persecution than they can in prosperity? As we're persecuted and the things that are normal and natural in this world is persecuted, there may be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not going to do it if we're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not following our Savior, if we're not being busy about our Father's business, they're not going to get born again. They're not going to get saved. That's what God has a church here for. Matter of fact, there's some verses about that. This is a challenge to you about how good you're following, just to check your own self out. This is between you and God, between you and the Holy Spirit. How are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you a verse in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. "He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So you can gauge how well you're following the Master, how well you're following the Lord Jesus Christ on your fishing life. And I'm not talking fishing for those fish in the water. I'm talking about, when is the last time you went and tried to fish for men? When's the last time you've dedicated some study into learning some more Bible verses so you're not stumped at a door? When's the last time you even knocked on a door? When's the last time you passed out a tract? When's the last time you did anything about following the Lord Jesus Christ in fishing men? When is the last time? Because if you're following Him, that's exactly what He's going to make you. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, "And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Listen, there's a lot of turmoil happening in this world, but we can still share the gospel. They cannot stop the gospel from coming out of our mouth. But we can stop the gospel. We can get priorities out of whack. We can get our love for God out of whack. And next thing you know it, we're sitting at home on Saturday or doing something different instead of going out to visitation. Instead of loving Him as we ought to love Him. Listen, we have our work cut out for us in these days, but that's okay. We can be busy about His work. That's okay. We can be praying for our leadership. We can be out sharing the gospel. But really, what is that thou to thee? Follow thou me. That's the message tonight. As the Holy Spirit deals with your heart about situations at work, situations in your home, situations within your own self, what is that to thee? These words have helped me out. Pastor preached this message some years ago, and he didn't preach it like this, I can promise you. But the passage of Scripture here, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." All right, and that's the message tonight. Let me close with this, that God is still in control, His purpose, His plan, and He's not the one that's asleep. He's on the throne. Unfortunately, sometimes it's us that's asleep. We need to wake up for His glory. In Psalm 105, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 106, verse 48, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So let me ask you the question. How's your love for the Savior tonight? How's your love for God tonight? Where's your focus tonight? What have you been filling your heart with? What's your focus tonight? And if God were to ask you a question, what would that question be? What question would the Lord Jesus Christ ask you right now if you had a personal talk with Him? What question would He ask you? There's something to chew on. Something to think about. Like I said, as I preached this morning, God was dealing with my heart. Because we all have a tendency to grow cold at times. We all have a tendency to get away from God at times. Hey, but God is there, merciful, to receive us right back to Him. We can renew. His mercies are new every morning. And we can get our hearts right with Him again tonight at your pew, at the altar. If you would, stand with me. Bow your heads as the music plays. Well, they're going to play in just a moment. I'm going to pray. But if God has spoken to your heart, use this message in your heart, just come and do business with Him. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to make a decision to trust Him tonight. Tonight would be a night to come forward as the music plays. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray first and then you play the music. Father, we ask that you would just meet with us in a special way, that you would prick our hearts to love you more, to get more serious about your work, your word, your worship. And Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this message, and we ask that you would just continue to draw us closer to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.